Welcome, everyone, to the Cosmic Gnostic Radio Podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to show 37 of the Cosmic Gnostic Radio Podcast series. My name is John Cale, and I am hailing from Charleston, South Carolina. It is a beautiful Sunday, April 25th. It has been raining all morning, and now the sun is out, and it couldn't be even more perfect today in the Charleston area. And I just want to say hello, everyone out there all over the planet, whenever, wherever you're listening to this show. Today we have special guest Christopher Moores on the show from creativecosmos.org. He's going to be coming up here in a bit, but first I want to make some announcements. First announcements goes out to thanks for donations on the show. We've had some donations from Penny, Jeff, Salo, and others out there who have been sending in their donations to keep Cosmic Gnostic going. And I want to just thank everybody for your gracious donations and your support. Another way you can support the show is by buying something from our shop. I have only a few items for sale. One, of course, is the DVD. For $10, you can buy the films that I have created. That, yes, you can watch them online, but you can also have it on a DVD to watch on your television screen at home to show to others. And that's only $10. So that's one item. Another way of supporting is buying a t-shirt through our sub shop that we have, that is also located on the website. If you just go to cosmicgnostic.com, you'll see a link to the left for shop. Click on that and you can go into the shop and see these links that I'm speaking about. So we have t-shirts that you can get, but a special treat that you might want to look into while they are still available is a handmade item that I have created that I have called the Shaman Stone Necklace. These Shaman Stone Necklaces, I've handmade them, and they're made out of a small stone that's called the Shaman Stone. It's also known as the Moki Marble, and they're said to be millions of years old. They are the result of a meteorite impact in the Navajo sandstone formation area of Utah. These rare stones were used by the shaman Moki natives for centuries and would use them for healing, psychism, protection, and to aid in deep meditation. A shaman stone absorbs negativity and then transforms it into a positive and balanced energy that is grounding and stimulating. And so this necklace is a way for you to carry the wondrous stone around with you for everyday use in shamanic mysticism or whatever you want to believe in it, actually. I don't really want to place any kind of belief systems in this, but what has been found is useful for the stone. And so I myself have been carrying around one of these, and I've found its benefits. But what I like most is when people have ordered one, they've worn it, and they've found some benefits from it. And these necklaces you can get on the sh in the shop on the site at cosmicgnostic.com, and it's only $11 plus postage to order one of these. But recently I got a email from someone who supported Cosmic Gnostic by buying one of these necklaces, and I want to read their email. This person was very nice to email me after they had ordered one of these necklaces, and this is what they said. For the last 2 months or so, I've been having some trouble with my back and wasn't sure if it was a pinched nerve, pulled muscle, or what, but was bound and determined not to go to the doctor. So I've been meditating on it for a while with some relief, but it was getting the best of me. I found a local acupuncture doctor from Taiwan and went for 3 rounds, and that seemed to get things going, but still, it was a deep muscle pain. Well, I ordered the necklace, really with the intentions of seeing what it looked like, and since there are plenty of t-shirts here, I figured this would be a cool way to support your efforts. After I got it, I put it on, didn't really give it much thought. But before I did, however, I had put on an herbal patch that Dr. Chin had given me. After a couple of hours, noticed there wasn't any pain. Well, how about that? Feel better. So bedtime, I took it off. Don't want to get it tangled up in the thing since I didn't cut it down yet. I can do that tomorrow. So I woke up the next morning. I felt crappy. Put on the Moki necklace again, and after a bit, noticed I felt better. Slept with it on, woke up, and there was no pain. So this person was just letting me know that he thinks that the Shaman Stone necklace, or the Moki marble necklace, whatever you want to call it, helped benefit him in a way that it was describing for healing. And I explained back that it was probably a combination of things, but you know, one extra tool that could provide help in our lives. Personally, I found these things as a feeling of sort of a protection for some reason. So they're rare, and only $11, and I've only got so many until they are gone. So you can go to the website, you can order online, and using PayPal, which allows you to use your credit card. And if you have any problems, you can always just contact me through the website or by simply emailing me at info@cosmicgnostic.com. And this is just a way that you can support the efforts of Cosmic Gnostic, and have something to take with you to carry around with you for fun and for whatever you find useful out of it. So that is that. The store over time will grow, and what I'm hoping to fill it with are more books. I am deciding to create a series of books focused around the research of Cosmic Gnostic that I personally do. One of the projects, for instance, is the discovery of the Masonic Star Map of Charleston, South Carolina, an ongoing and exclusive research project that I have been immersed in for a while now. I've taken a break from it just for a little while to just sort of breathe and to focus on where I want to take it. And so now I'm getting back into that project, for instance, and I'm going to be in putting it together in a form of a book. However, it's not just going to be a book, a sort of textbook, just general average book about the subjects. I'm deciding to, instead of that, have a book sort of theme that's centered around a zine like a zine sort of attitudes and style with its making. If you don't know what a zine is, check out, look it up online, and it's a really fun way of a publication that encompasses a bunch of things. But each book or zine is going to have 100 pages plus of the information of the research at hand. And so I just thought it'd be a fun way to put it together in that format, to have the information in that available in paper format, but also to have a sort of fun theme that goes along with it, which will incorporate other aspects of Cosmic Gnostic within the series. So that's what's going to be coming up next, are books or zines or whatever you want to call it. It's a just kind of like a creative effort to make things interesting, educational, and fun at the same time. So these books that I'm going to be creating will be a series. This first one will be the Masonic Star Map of Charleston, South Carolina, which will be much of what the film discuss, which is available online. You can go to Cosmic Gnostic and watch this 33-minute film. I think it's 33, might be just 30 minutes, but it's about the Masonic Star Map of Charleston, South Carolina, for which that I'm revealing, that has not been revealed elsewhere before. This book version of that will have much, much more information in it. The film is just skimming through it quickly, just kind of like the surface of the information. But what lies within is much deeper, and you can also check out that deeper aspect by listening to my interview on redicecreations.com, and you can listen to that also on cosmicgnostic.com. It's in YouTube format, so you can listen through that in 10-minute clips, and it's an hour of the interview of 2 hours. And of course, if you want the 2 hour, the second hour, you have to be a member on Red Ice. But there's just a lot of things going on around here. These books are going to be fun, though. I'm hoping it will be sort of like a coffee table book, but a serious book, because it'll have serious new revealing information as that's just coming out as we research these things. Each series, each book will be encompassing different subjects, but all of this research will be available online on cosmicgnostic.com that you can read about on there as well. So things are growing, things are evolving on the site, and we're just trying different things, and so anybody's support is very much appreciated, and emailing is much appreciated. Lots of people have been emailing me, and I want to say thank you for getting in touch. Thanks for the deep thoughts and conversations. Just keep it going, and it's a pleasure to meet everybody. And I don't know. This is a definitely an interesting ride, and I couldn't be happier to continue to do Cosmic Gnostic. It's a growing endeavor, and much fun and educational for myself. So, with that, you're listening to the Cosmic Gnostic Radio podcast, and this episode we have Christopher Moores. The radio podcast is changing as well. If you haven't noticed, we've been having guests, and more guests are going to be coming this way, and hopefully it's going to become more and more consistent, hopefully as we can. I do Cosmic Gnostic as a, what I can do in my free time when I'm not working an everyday life like much people do who are listening to the show. And the less that I have to work there, the more I can work here. And so that is sort of the goal. And by the supportive efforts and the growth of Cosmic Gnostic, I'm hoping to achieve that so that we can dig deeper into this realm of life and experience, and to try to like just understand it, and to be a cosmic Gnostic, not part of a group, but an individual existence, an individual soul, searching universally for the ultimate truth and knowledge. That's what it's all about, and it's a journey that we all are making our own paths. And I just want to just broaden that spectrum by bringing guests in and discussing interesting topics that are out there, that are in our universe, and just explore them together. And in order to do that, we have to like be able to focus on it more and more, and be able to be more free to have the time to be able to focus on it more and more. And Cosmic Gnostic has been around for years now. I don't even know when I started it, to be honest. I try to keep thinking about it, but it sort of just became slowly but surely to where it is now, and it's just a great thing. And there's so much going on. I'm not even going to get into news on this episode because it's really irrelevant once you start seeing how much of it is out there. The news, it's just occurring every day. I've tried to keep up with it on the site, and I try to every day. There's so much of it that truly people could join the site and find these news articles to post what's going on out there, and it would still not be enough. But we can do that if you want. Actually, if you want to, you can go to the site and join CosmicGnostic.com for free. Go to the forums, and you'll see like where we are posting these news articles to sort of like put it in perspective of what's happening every day. And you can post your own news topics there, or just discuss what's going on in general on the forums over there. And it's free. You can also comment on the films on Cosmic Gnostic and other things maybe down the road. But that's free. And, I don't want to take up any more time of this interview with Christopher Moores, but I just wanted to discuss some certain aspects that's going on around here on the show within my world, and within the just strange rabbit hole that I'm inviting others to come and explore with me. And so let's check out the interview with Christopher Moores.
If you enjoy Cosmic Gnostic and its many projects, did you know that you can show your support to help keep it around? One way is to buy a shirt. There are many shirt designs available to you, and you can even choose what color shirt you want. Be sure to click on one of the banners to the new store and buy a shirt today. Another way is to send donations via the PayPal link that you will see on the website and the podcast page. Any amount you give is highly appreciated, and all donations will be announced. And the easiest way to help out if you can't afford one of the other options is by just visiting the links that you will see provided by the Google ads located around the Cosmic Gnostic website and on the podcast page with Cosmic Gnostic. Any way that you choose to show your support, thank you for your help to keep Cosmic Gnostic around.
Here we have Christopher Moores, writer, artist, musician, and the creator of creativecosmos.org. Welcome to the show, Christopher. How about telling us? Welcome. And how about telling us a bit about creativecosmos.org? What is it, and how did it come about?
Sure. Yeah. It. You know, years ago. You know, I'm a musician. I've been a musician my whole life, and
same
spent,
here.
Spent many years in the practice rooms and, you know, trying to refine my craft. I'm a trumpet player is my, main instrument that way. And, I went to school for many years and, you know, I was doing quite well and everything seemed to be fine, but I felt like there was something missing at some point. I started studying with some pretty heavy cats who kind of opened my eyes to some of the bigger things in this universe. So I decided to leave actually the same town I'm in now, Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. I left and went up north to Minneapolis, and I kind of call it my Himalayan period in a way. And if you've ever spent any time up there, you can, it gets pretty, frigid up there. So you can almost imagine it. But I was in search of, you know, my own greater truth. You know, at that point, the basic Buddhist story where he, you know, left the kingdom of worldly riches and set out in search of enlightenment, I resonated with completely, and I did the same and spent many years. And at this point, I started opening up from just music or just playing music to being creative in a general sense. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing some visual art. I started writing and started writing songs and started doing all sorts of other creative endeavors, which is kind of how I zeroed in on the fact that my greater being, my highest being, or my soul entity is generally creative. I can't put it in a box, and I don't need to put it in a box, and I don't need to call it just one thing or another. And in fact, with this kind of freedom of just creativity itself, each one of these specific tasks that you do come in the creative process, you can do with from an even better perspective, with a freer sense, where the technique doesn't define you, but instead you bring that freedom and you use the technique as a means to express.
I can resonate with that perfectly, because my own experience throughout life kind of came in a similar sense, where I was a creative artist visually and into music as well. And it's just been like a process over time that I eventually sort of led myself onto this path. And which is interesting, because the next question I had for you, I was going to ask if it was some sort of experience that like sort of like happened to you, to where after this experience it catapulted you onto your path. But it sounds like it's been mostly an endeavor that just kind of came naturally with you.
Well, you know, sometimes I call myself Sturm und Drang neoclassicist. It's kind of almost a slight contrary term, but the Sturm und Drang is like Beethoven, you know, where I have had some pretty good internal struggle to give birth to some of these truths that I've come to find. And, you know, in this earlier period, it all seems very natural now in retrospect and as a smooth progression. But, you know, going through this, and I guess you could say it's kind of the artist struggle that creative people in general kind of go through, where you've got to find your own original voice, your own true voice, where you're not just recycling what you've seen, but you're bringing something new to the world. And there's no direct route to tuning into that level of inspiration. It's almost, would you say, a benediction of sorts. But, yeah, you know, I did kind of have a big experience, or a series of experiences. You know, I call them Satori, glimpses that opened me wide, that when I came back to the normal world, it was never quite the same again. You know, I kind of went on a pilgrimage of sorts to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan with a few friends of mine, and over the course of the middle of the night and the starry sky and just nature and being so close to nature, I had a massive awakening experience of where I felt grace descend upon me, and I felt how alive I was and what a miracle it is to be alive. And I was just bathing in energy waves. And ever since then, I've always been connected to the source. It's just been a matter of sorting out the implications of that in the physical world.
How would you feel you would have, turned out if you didn't have those experiences? Would it have changed your course?
Yeah, I think there's a couple scenarios where I might have kind of, I guess you could say, lost my way in the world and just lived a normal worldly life. I was pretty close to doing that a couple different times, you know. There were a couple forks in the road where each time I kind of took the turn which would lead me towards this goal of consciousness and being more awakened to the universal reality. But I do feel like I set myself up for the awakening to happen in the sense of like pre-planning your life, like before you incarnate, you can kind of set up some parameters if you're conscious enough or lucky enough. And I kind of look at it that I put myself in a scenario of where I would eventually feel the compression that would lead the spirit to rise and break through that. And then knowing that at the time that spirit broke through that and I resolved everything, the means to which to giving that spirit birth in the world would no longer matter, because once you're there, everything's okay.
I totally can see what you're saying with that. I too feel like I've sort of put things in place for them to happen. Not necessarily like I'm almighty, able to make everything that I've planned happen, but it does seem like there's a behind this, my own story that kind of led me to where I am. But what I wonder is like, if there are people like us that are like on this sort of path and sort of have this realization of how great the experience of the universe is, I wonder why other souls have not gotten to that point. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you could think about older souls or souls that have been around for a longer period of time. But, you know, I mean, that's one way to kind of think about it. But, you know, I have kind of, seeing as you and I share the cosmic side of things, I'll go ahead and indulge into the story here. But I kind of believe that some of us, well, basically like the human body is the vehicle in which to incarnate on the planet Earth. Now, in say like right now, I think we're basically, okay, we're going to be born, we're going to die, we're going to be born, we're going to die. We're kind of orbiting the Earth in a way. And then you come down, you take a body. Okay, you live through the life, you die. You come out, but you're still kind of close. And then you come down, you take the body, and then you come out. But I do think at some point you can cruise out of here. I think that's what a lot of the Indian mystics are talking about, is that eventually you can go. Mm-hmm. And in the reverse is, I think some of us came into this place. We may have lived in whole other areas of the galaxy. Like, you know, I've seen a good bit of people kind of come up with this independently, something like the Pleiadian realms or the Sirian realms or, you know, whatever. But you could have lived in that area in a completely different way, in a whole different set of parameters. It would be a different frequency, it'd be a different manifestation process, different communication process, but the essential truth of the being within it is the same. And so you could live very long periods somewhere else, and then you kind of cruise through space. And maybe a lot of people know about this place, this Earth experience. It's one way to, it's the water planet. It brings you into feeling. It brings you into depth, you know, which I think is one reason for the pain of this place and the suffering of this place, is because it carves into your soul space for the deeper sensibilities.
Yeah, I could see that. It almost, from what you're describing, sounds like a truer sense of how we are to truly travel the universe, is through consciousness rather than jumping in a UFO and then flying off somewhere. Not saying that that's not a possibility, but it seems that there could be some essence to that as well. So I've heard you in other interviews speak about how we need to slow down. I was wondering if you could speak a bit about the slowing down process and the importance of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the ticket out, essentially. It's the way to slip out of what many call the matrix, or the overloading of the five senses and the being trapped in identification therein. I mean, we're constantly being drawn out in every kind of a way, and you know, from every single message that we're bombarded with is an attempt to pull us out, to get us to focus out, and get us to care about the out, you know, the multimedia extravaganza that we're basically born into and live through our whole lives. I mean, the way slowing down, you know, starts, I guess, with, especially these days, with slowing down your mind. So you're not thinking, okay, I got to do this all day, I got to do this, then later on I got to do this, and man, this was a bummer when this and that happened, and I'm cruising along, blah, 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 blah. Because that's, while you're doing that, you're not present.
Mm-hmm.
You're not here, and truly here is the only reality. That's kind of, if you're almost discarnate if you're caught up in the mental chatter. And that's a dangerous place to be. You make yourself very vulnerable to all kinds of things, both physical and from an energy sense. Something could hop into your body while you're vacant. While you're vacant in the world, you could be threatened by something, or you could be absent enough to have an accident, or and anyway, just out of a respect for other people too. When you're with other people, you know, I see it. For me, I feel hurt because I'm a very empathic person, and I can't but be conscious and present with somebody so that I can give them what they deserve as a human being. You know, so often people don't see each other and don't give each other the credence of the meaning of the interchange. That's where I go back to feeling that sense of being alive in the universe and what a gift it is, and how rare and fleeting of an opportunity this is. You put in perspective the things that you maybe worry about in the mind and are trivial matters. We see all over, people go through a near-death experience, or you know, lose a loved one, and when they reevaluate again and again, that's what they come to, is that, you know, so many of the things we worry about aren't important, and what is important is getting the most out of the time that we do have with each other.
So living in the now is where it's at.
Yeah, you slow down to the point of where you phase in. Essentially, because at some point you simply slip out of the mental chatter. That's why my favorite technique is maybe called the witnessing technique, or being watchful, kind of being like the reflective mirror. I'm observing, I'm conscious, I'm aware, but I'm not reacting. I've trained myself to be watchful. And then when I choose to act, I can act consciously, but I'm not, these stimuli are not bouncing me into any action. So that is a very good practice to slow down, as we're talking about, as to, you know, don't feel like you're obligated to have to respond to every stimuli that comes in your direction. And then you can maintain your core energy for yourself. And one thing I like to talk about is like then proactively radiate that into your world. So then life is not happening to you, but you're happening to life.
Yeah. How do you feel about time speeding up and trying to slow down? Many people have theorized that time seems like it's speeding up, and And as evidence of that, even society is speeding up more and more, creating more and more of a sort of distraction from centering yourself. Do you find yourself constantly trying to keep up with this? Or do you think that maybe this is speeding up as an illusion of itself?
Well, that's the nice thing about getting that space from the mind and the happenings of the world is it could speed up, but you don't have to speed up with it. I think both those things are true. Like, one, the external world is speeding up in the sense, like, in the last few years, we've all become completely aware of each other, partly, you know, first from the TV and then from the internet and quick travel methods. And, you know, we're rehashing all of history, and it's just a lot. We're and all these little new ways to communicate, from the Facebooks to the Twitters to the text messages to the whatever else. We're just like filling all the space, I guess you could say. There's a time-space correlation for you there. It's like time speeding up and we're filling all the space. But that space, you need to reclaim that space. That's why we slow down. Or, you know, the truth underneath it all, regardless of what is occurring outside, remains the same. So the path back always ends up to that center, which transcends these myriad of manifestations through any given era or cultural influence.
But as we see our time outwardly speeding up, do you find that people are needing these sort of techniques more and more than they've ever before to sort of reach that centerness?
Oh, certainly. You know, one of the big epidemics here is, instead of those techniques, they're medicating with these really strong psychoactive drugs, and they're just taking that as part of the norm of life. Like, everybody needs that, but that's part of a result of going along for that manic ride, you know, allowing that careening out of control entity define the parameters of existence. You know, it's just a story. It's just a narrative. Sure, they're telling it relelessly, but you can tell a different story. Our intrinsic birthright begins and ends with us, and it's up to us to. That's why we create. That's why we express. We going back to the idea of creative cosmos. Nice effect of expressing is it's a very healing process, and it gets out all this subconscious buildup. You know, that's one thing to in order to slow down and tune in, you need to release the back pressure of the subconscious buildup. You know, these days so many people kind of just clamp down on the subconscious, deny it, and split a big section of themselves off, and then that's always causing tension. It's always seeking to be reclaimed, and one day it's going to have to be recognized, opened up to, and that energy is going to have to be transformed. It may be in tears, it may be in abstract art, it may be in a loud composition, or it may be anything, but then you give it expression, that is the transformation. That's how you turn that energy to good and resurrect that lost part of yourself.
So you speak about meditation a lot, and I personally think that meditation is very important. And I also know that you're a musician, so I wonder if, being that you like meditation and like music, have you found yourself interested in mixing the two?
Boy, you're right on it with that. I consider myself as a human being kind of the crossroads of music and meditation. I mean, those are the two wings of my spirit, really. And they're really probably different forms of the same energy. You maybe call it, you could call it the Om, or the that which invigorates, the Om, the Holy Spirit. But yeah, for sure. I mean, I would like to think a lot of what I do create, I guess you could say in a general sense, the visual art, the writing, everything, it is kind of a form of music for me. It all is a, could be called music in a sense. And it's designed, hopefully, you know, if I'm enlivened with that high vibration or that spirit and create something, it's like I'm embodying a bit of that energy or capturing a bit of it and sharing it, so that maybe when you hear that music or see that picture or read that phrase, it'll trigger the awakening of that same kind of experience, the same kind of energy. It's like a doorway to those places. And you know, kind of the silence, again, another way to put it, be music meditation is silence and sound, and both are necessary or needed for full balance.
Do you think that meditation sort of evolves rather than staying stagnant with several practices? You know how there's ancient practices, but it just I'm just wondering if you stick with the standard or do you try to go beyond that?
Yeah, great question, because I think that's sometimes where people in the West get a little hung up, is because they might see the externals of it and think it's kind of like dull or boring, or how could you keep doing that or whatever, and it doesn't seem to fit in the cultural lexicon. So my answer is certainly, yeah, anything that you can do and you can be present with, anything you can enjoy. Like, say, for instance, this is how I came to writing songs, is I was exploring where I felt good, where I felt joyous, where I felt close to that spirit. And I realized when I picked up a guitar and just played a few chords and sang a happy tune, my heart opened wide up. You know, I didn't open my heart chakra by like focusing on green or intoning a certain pitch. I opened it up by doing something I loved. And so then love opened it up. And this joy, and then, and for something like that, that's a meditation. And you take a walk on a starry night, like how I described, I basically became a reborn as the soul. It was this walk on a starry night, and it's just peaceful and beautiful and just the right moment. Or, you know, some of the more traditional, you can kind of mix and match, I think, you know, whatever. I tried to expose, when I was going through adapting what worked for me, is I did a combination of soaking up everything I could from the outside, all the techniques other people had discovered, and also allowing my intuition to flow in the manner it felt compelled, without doubting it or without hesitating. You know, some of the right meditations will come on their own accord if we have that space. See, that's why we need to, that's the whole point of the slowing down or phasing in or not going along for this ride. And this is also part of the point of why the outside tries to keep you on that ride, so that you don't discover this part inside yourself, because it blows the whole illusion wide open. It's a whole other reality. It's a much bigger story here. It's a much bigger picture. And that is certainly the truth.
You tapped into a few things there. First, I wanted to know, you mentioned about opening your heart chakra, and I'm always curious about people's techniques in doing so. What are some of your techniques in opening your heart chakra?
Well, you know, building on what I said, number one is to allow it to express itself. You know, a lot of times we're in the physical world, or however we've been shaped by the world and the circumstance might sometimes put us in a sort of box, or kind of in a place where we don't feel that joy or that freedom, which gives rise to opening the heart chakra. And I think sometimes we're kind of forced into, we feel forced into defending ourselves or being harsh because we are bombarded with so many messages or things trying to compel us in some manner or other. We become harsh, and then that also closes down the heart, you know. So we have to find first the barriers to the heart, those ways in which we're clamping down on the heart, and then be strong enough within ourselves. Now, this is courage. This is, you know, the heart of a hero or a lion heart, or, you know, why they say the lions roar in Zen is because, you know, doggone it, I'm going to do what I love. You know, nothing's going to stop me. This is who I am. This is what I'm all about. Take it or leave it, world, because I'm here and I'm here to stay.
Yeah, that definitely is a great attitude for living in general, but just these times, I feel like we really need to try to focus on that even more so. It seems like that the outside world is just becoming so chaotic that it wants to take you away from that that capability of tapping into something something like the heart chakra. Why do you think this exists in our times now?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, I think some of the way I look at it is it's kind of just part of being here. You know, sometimes when we dream of the ideal, maybe that is how it is to some extent in the astral realms. You know, maybe we're longing for where we came from. But I think to some extent this place is wrought with challenges, and so that we can kind of play off of them in our discovering the truth of who we are. You know, I think we can maybe all as a whole progress, but generally the spiritual awakening is going to be an individual phenomenon. It's going to begin and end with the individual, because that's the whole point of it, is giving birth to that deeper part of ourselves that, you know, I like to say soul, just because it's kind of an easy thing to wrap your mind around, but that greater illumination of your being, that full, you know, the potential becomes actual, your whole. And, you know, so I guess it is part of, you know, part of that which we play off of, to find that within ourselves so that we do have the courage to stand alone. So maybe, you know, maybe it's part of the earth school. Maybe it is a bit of an evolution on a grander scale, because there are some things, like I said before, we're being made aware, like, of all of history that ever happened at once. We're not just suddenly aware of a country or other side of the world more. We're just connected, and all the information that ever was is here. You know, so I think at some point we're going to sift through it, essentially digest it, and then hopefully we can get past it a little bit and move on to brighter days for the whole, you know?
Yeah, definitely so. Where do you find you getting your source of information from? I mean, just kind of internally. Where do you think that source is coming from?
Yeah, I guess, firstly, I attribute it to that's where I come in with the Holy Spirit idea, or the Om vibration. I guess I assume that God is everywhere. Everything in existence can at any point in time, it could, like, even a door could phase in and start talking to you, you know, or, like, you know, anything. It's just not as solid as it appears to be. And if the divine wants to get you a message, It will. You know, often that is in the form of those coincidences that aren't so coincidental, or, you know, the things that are, it's like I'm watching for the universe to speak to me all the time. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of assumed my role as the creator. You know, I know I am a creator, and I'm tapped into another way to say the Holy Spirit is just the spirit of creativity itself. You know, the same thing, you know, nature, mm-hmm. that which makes the trees grow and the flowers blossom. You know, that which is just that life expression itself. And so I try to be like the hollow bamboo, as they say in Zen. I open, and that's, you know, the opening the heart, but opening my whole being so that energy can come down through me and use my hands as the means to express that message. So I essentially within myself, I open up to the spaces and allow myself to be for that force to come and flow through me.
That's nice, very nice. Do you? It seems like there's two sets of people. There are people like you that gain this information, this gnosis, and then almost as if as it's pouring in, you try to allow it to pour out. Where there are people that seem to, they allow it to pour in, and then once it pours in, they refuse to let it pour out and sort of keep it hidden. Why do you think this sort of thing is out there when people that are into these realms, or it seems like we're all trying to grasp for wisdom and knowledge, and it just would seem that, like, along with all that, this idea of just giving this knowledge out would be the best way. Why do you think people want to keep it in?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a power trip. You know, it's a way people, you know, if you're still really living by the ego and trying to, it's just a way, yeah, control. People, ego is addicted to means of control. And, you know, it also made me think of differentiating, like the way I look at it is there's like the occult, and then there's what I call Zen, you know, where the occult, you can make use of many of these techniques and you can use them in the world in various ways. You can kind of, you don't necessarily have to be enlightened to make use of some of these rituals or spells or control mechanisms that work on the archetypal level, or in some of these things, there's techniques or whatever, you know, and in fact, everybody should be aware of those techniques precisely so that they can not be under somebody else's control. You know, the more these devices are demystified, you know, people can use them in their own life, but then they'll see if somebody else is trying to manipulate them. And that includes, you know, like the big news networks or something that are constantly using those. It's essentially a form of sorcery, mm-hmm. you know, and if it doesn't have that heart behind it or that humanity or that good for all behind it, it is a dangerous weapon. And it's a very tempting thing if you start out on the path and you get a few of these, you know, you get a little keener, to being able to, like, let's say, enforce your will upon a situation. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's a very tempting thing to play around with, and it can be a big trap, really, because, you know, anything you put out, you essentially have to bear the kickback from it, you know, to me, the karma thing is it's just pure reflexive. You know, you kick out something with an ill intent, mm-hmm. it's just going to echo back, essentially. I mean, it really is a great means to balance you out, because it's really is, well, you're kicking this out, it's going to come back. You put out the good, it's going to come back good. You put out manipulative and shady and whatever else, you might gain a temporary advantage in the world, but there's no there's no end game there. To me, the end game has to be peace. It has to be freedom. It has to be openness and love. Otherwise, you haven't found it yet.
Do you feel that that's where we're headed? In a more hopeful aspect, that people will gain a more hopeful insight into their reality? Or do you think that we're just going to keep going in this entrapment?
Yeah, it's tough, you know. I mean, at some point, people are going to have to actively dismantle the means of entrapping. We're going to have to undo a lot of it, or, you know. I think many people are getting to the point of where they're tuning into some of these higher vibrations and becoming aware of this, of what we're talking about. In the general course of human progression, you know, I'm not one who believes it's going to, like, say, 2012, everyone's going to get it or something like that. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think conditions might be more favorable to it. I certainly think that we are moving into a different phase, and you know, humanity as a whole is going to start moving into that realm of the heart. I mean, essentially, because we have to. We'll be dead if we don't.
Absolutely. So, concerning your website, I noticed you have some books on there. You want to talk about a bit about what books you've written?
Sure, thanks. You know, when we're talking about the cosmic perspective, the book Pearly Gates Press. I mean, it's still, I've written a couple books since then, but there's something about that book that's just really special to me. It just has the magic in it. It just has that luster. I could feel the presence while I was writing it of that transcendent energy.
What was that one called?
That was Pearly Gates Press.
Pearly Gates Press. Yes, I see it.
Yeah, and that's
the three volumes.
Yeah, it actually, and I'm going to put the three volumes back on my little shop as individual items. But it, you know, the book really reads nice together as a whole. You know, and it's kind of a book you don't necessarily have to read cover to cover either. Mm-hmm. You can just, you know, many people who've read it and have written to me about it say that they'll just open it anywhere at any given time and just start reading, and it will have some effect for them. It will have meaning pertinent to the moment, you know, which is really why, in a creative sense, in a professional sense, why I put so much stuff out there, is just hoping for to be that trigger, to make it just part of the whole that will then eventually sort itself out to be in the right place at the right time to facilitate that happening. You know, so Pearly Gates Press is a really special book. Ruminations of the Universe, I continue a lot of the themes in Pearly Gates Press. And, you know, what I like to say is I cover mental territory. You know, I'm just hopefully giving you maybe new things to consider. Or, you know, I also like to write things that I myself would like to read. And, you know, I've read all the New Age books and all, you know, a lot of the spiritual masters and, you know, just tons and tons and tons and tons of material. You know, not to mention I had a whole background, you know, studying the arts many years in the university, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I try to take that ball and move it farther forward. You know, I try to go even farther with all of it, put it all together and just keep pushing it, you know, just no limits, going as far out to the edge as possible. And, you know, because I think many of us are open to extravagant possibilities. I mean, it is the reality just above our head is outer space. It's there right now. You know, we can reach right out the window and essentially touch the sun. It's an amazing, miraculous place. And there's nothing even we have to do but remember that that is the case.
And experience it. Just be there.
For sure.
So I've noticed your illustrations on your books. Do you create those yourself?
Yeah, I do. Those are mine, and those are form of my meditation. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, like I say, I leave myself open to the inspiration, and sometimes it'll come to me in a graphic form, and then I'll literally put the pen to the paper and let the image draw itself. And so all my books have a good number of illustrations that I've added that kind of highlight and enhance the work in the words. Sometimes the words have even followed an image. I'll have drawn the picture first, and then the words will almost be a description of that. And as time goes on, I'll put more and more of this stuff on the site for people to enjoy. And I even have them available to, if you want to buy a poster, if you like one. And, you know, there's some on there for $10. Not bad. Just a nice way to kind of put that. If you want to hang a picture like that, then you become part of that facilitating of the awakening process. Somebody comes over, hey, what's that all about? Well, hey, you know, it's about this or that or whatever. And, you know, we keep the ball rolling here, making people aware of these things.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for being on the show, Christopher. Again, Christopher Moores at creativecosmos.org. Is there anything else that you want to tell people out there, Chris, that we haven't discussed on the show?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you to you, and I always enjoy your shows and your website, and I think we share a lot of the same themes and values. So, I mean, it's been a real pleasure talking with you, and we got a nice flow. I hope we got some good stuff, and I'm really glad to be able to reach out and say hello to your audience, and you know, keep on the good work, and I'll try to do the same.
You definitely, for you too, Chris. You keep up the great work. What you're doing is just inspiring in itself, and it's just been a pleasure to have you on the show. And we'll definitely have to try to get you on down the road here just to see what's up.
Sure thing.
All right, man. Well, again, Christopher Moores, creativecosmos.org. Visit the site, and thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
You can check out other interviews on CosmicGnostic.com. It's a free podcast series where you'll find other interviews and other shows dedicated around all kinds of subjects of the rabbit hole, the weird, just life, this whole experience, just this gathering of information. You can just check that out over at CosmicGnostic.com. And coming up next show, well, you know, I'm not really sure. That's where we are right now with these shows. Just still trying to figure out where we want to go and who can be on the show. But there will be new guests coming up soon in the future. But let's check out a song of Christopher Moore's here at the end of the show. With this song, his song is called Love Philosophy. And until next time, everyone, thanks a lot for checking out Cosmic Gnostic Radio Podcast, and we'll be here again.
Another long year with my back against the wall. Time will tell if I will rise or I will fall. Some of us left willing to give a fight. Day after day after day after night, why don't you? way and the truth and the light. Come on and gather round me, people. Shine your light with me. Singing those sweet love songs throughout all eternity. Come on and shout it to the people. Long beat to live free. Tell them the story of a love philosophy. Yeah. Come with me. Greatest.